This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. If you want it, take my wallet. If you want it now, jump in the Cadillac. Girl, let's put some miles on it. Anything you want, just to put a smile on it. You deserve it, baby.
He's the baddest man on the planet. Got Jackie Wilson and James Brown in his hooks, in his bones.
That's right.
Hey, that's the baddest man on the planet. He makes me feel like I'm 25. Not 45.
You would not believe these gyrations he's doing, folks.
Not 85, 25.
I'm a bad man, man. I feel so good. I feel necessary now, Frank.
He's very talented now. Give him some. Very talented.
All right, Gatesworth is where Charlie should be and not here. Finest in senior living if you're looking for a place for mom or dad, aunt or uncle, grandma or grandpa. The Gatesworth, 170 Delmar. Go to gatesworth.com, where when you call down to the front desk, the answer is always yes. Was there with my mom yesterday. Had a great lunch with her. Great place to be, the Gatesworth. All right, yeah. Andy Strickland, Charles Toon Edwards, and the Blues did some movement on their coaching staff, but yes, we should not use the word firing.
No, it's been reported that they were fired all across town, and this was not unexpected, and I'll tell you why. When Mike Yeo came on board, we all knew he was going to become the head coach. Brad Shaw, Kirk Muller, assistant coaches who were here last year, offered one-year deals. They didn't want to come back under one-year deals. All those coaches accepted one-year contracts to come here, knowing there was a possibility there was going to be turnover with a new head coach taking over, which is often the case because a head coach deserves to pick their coaching staff. Now, with that being said, Rick Wilson, who ran the defense, was offered a contract to come back.
Oh, he was?
He was. And he turned that down because he wants to be closer to family. His family lives in Dallas, Texas, so there's a good chance and a good bet that I was, maybe you'll see him on the bench with Ken Hitchcock, coaching with Hitch in Dallas, so he can be closer to his family if he wants to continue coaching. So, you know, Ray Bennett obviously had survived several head coaches. He'd been here for a long time, very valuable asset to the coaching staff. And it's tough to see him go. You know, in the case of Ty Conklin, you know, the writing was kind of on the wall, at least for me, when Marty Brodeur all of a sudden had a tracksuit on and he's on the ice as the goaltending coach. And obviously he's going to be, in charge of kind of creating that list for the next goaltending coach. But to say that they were fired, their contracts were up, they weren't renewed, so we'll see how it plays out. A lot of people believe that Ray Bennett's going to end up in Dallas. I don't believe that's going to happen because Ken Hitchcock has already filled that role on the Dallas coaching staff in terms of the role that a Ray Bennett would likely fulfill if he were to join them. That could change. I hope he finds a job, if not Dallas, somewhere. He's got a very good reputation around the National Hockey League, and he's got a lot of people in his corner, including Hitch, Doug Armstrong. These guys will be making some calls for Ray Bennett, who's a great, great person.
Well, it's we had Hitch on earlier this week, and that division, Andy, is this going to be one of the best divisions?
Well, it has been.
But now Dallas will be good again, too.
You would think so. They got a lot of work to do, though, Frank. But now they have a goaltender, which was a big, obviously, hole in their overall roster. They need some help on defense. They've got a couple of superstars up front. There's no reason, with Ken Hitchcock coming on board, there's no reason to assume that they're not going to be, you know, a contender for the division once again. With Chicago, you look at what Nashville is doing right now. St. Louis is going to be good when you have Jake Allen and goal and the core pieces that they have on the back end, and then a superstar in Vladimir Tarasenko, Robbie Fabry being back. I mean, they're going to be a competitive team once again. So, yeah, it's going to be a very good division.
Who do you think, like, the Las Vegas – I guess it kind of depends on what happens with Nashville in this postseason run.
Yeah.
But the prognosticators, how will they rank them?
What do you mean? You mean Vegas in terms of the betting line, not
Nashville
the Vegas Golden
one,
Knights.
Chicago two.
Yeah. I don't know.
St. Louis over Minnesota.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, yeah, I would think so. I would think St. Louis over Minnesota, but Minnesota's got a good team too.
And Winnipeg is not a slouch either.
Winnipeg, every year you say they're going to take the next step. Everyone's waiting for them to do so. Their roster is very, very good. I think much better than people realize, much better than people give them credit for. There's no reason they shouldn't be in the mix as well. I don't see Colorado being much better than they were this year, though.
Explain this. Why are the Blues sharing that AHL team for a year and they're ending their affiliation with Chicago Wolves?
Well, it's a really good question. I think the Blues looked at a couple of options. You know, it's no secret that Kansas City was one. Indianapolis has certainly been thrown out there as well. there is an expansion fee you have to pay to get into the American Hockey League. And $5.5 million is the number from what I understand. And I'm not going to sit here and say that's the sole reason why the Blues and Kansas City didn't team up. But if you're the owner of the Kansas City team, the Missouri Mavericks is who they've gone by, you know, they get good attendance. Their attendance is probably not going to increase that much. It's not going to really improve their bottom line a ton to all of a sudden go to the American League versus the East Coast League. I mean, let's face it, the fans there, they just look at it as pro hockey. It's entertainment. They go watch. So that'd probably be a big check for their owner to write just to switch leagues. I don't think they had a whole lot of interest in that. The Blues will place around 8 players, I would think, to Chicago. Vegas will have around 8 spots to place their players. Chicago will fill out the rest, and then the Blues will have another team, and I would expect that announcement to come out very, very soon, to where they'll put the rest of their prospects. But it's not as much of a negative as people may think it is.
Well, they're the only one that doesn't have their own team,
no,
correct?
But this has happened in the past, though, with other teams. I mean, Vancouver just a couple years ago was sharing an affiliate, and here's why it's not a big deal. I mean, Vegas, they're not going to – I mean, listen, this is their first NHL draft coming up. They're not going to have a whole lot of – quote-unquote prospects. They'll have some guys on some two-way contracts. They'll have some guys that they select in the expansion draft that they're going to have to put there. But their draft picks, people that they own, the future of that franchise from the NHL draft, those guys won't even be there for the next couple of years. So if a Vince Dunn, a highly regarded Blues prospect on the back end who was an American League All-Star this past year, if he's in Chicago next year, if he doesn't make the Blues roster out of camp, he'll be used as a top pair defenseman. If you have Samuel Blaze, who scored 26 goals as a 20-year-old, who's going to be in the NHL playing for the St. Louis Blues the next couple of years, if he's in Chicago, he'll be a top six forward. These guys are still going to get opportunities to play. And the name prospects, the high-end prospects from the Blues, I would imagine are going to have a chance to play there and have a big role.
Hey, explain to me something about revenue. The Blues go far in the playoff. Of mm-hmm. course, there's more revenue. Mm-hmm. Is that shared with the team or with the league?
I think in the first round, the league does get a cut of some of that gate revenue. But it's still very important, and it's huge for the St. Louis Blues to have those home games in the Stanley Cup playoffs. They make a lot of money. I shouldn't say a lot, but it certainly helps with the revenue that they get from having home playoff games. Last year was huge going to the third round, having a couple of series that went the distance, the first and second round against Chicago and Dallas, and then this year getting to the second round. It certainly helps big time to be able to have some home playoff dates.
You think they have money to get a free agent? And is there an available free agent?
There's not a whole lot of interesting players out there, to be honest with you. I think the more likely scenario is through trade if they're really going to improve this roster up front. And, you know, it's hard to predict, you know, who they could trade for, who's going to be available. I mean, there's some decent depth players. You look at a guy like Bonino who plays for Pittsburgh. I mean, he's a pretty good player, clutch player, not a high-end point producer, but this guy can play and he can, help a lot of teams. And he's a winner, you know. Joe Thornton, who's been around for a long, long time, not a goal scorer, but he makes others around him better, but he's been beaten up, and now he's getting older. Do you want to take a chance on him? And is he even going to become available? The reality is the top two free agents available could be TJ Oshie and Kevin Shattenkirk. And Washington's going to try to keep Oshie. I know Oshie has told people close to him that he would love the idea of coming back to St. Louis. But the reality is he's going to be in a spot to be able to get somewhere between $6.5 and $7, if not more than $7 million per year.
And is that too expensive for the Blues?
I would think, well, let me just put it this way. I'm not so sure I would, if he's not bringing Ovechkin and Backstrom with him, I'm not so sure I would give TJ Oshie $7 million. He's a very good player, had a great year, obviously a fan favorite here. I'm just not so sure he's the guy at this stage. You know, he had a career year, there's no doubt, and he's a very, very good player. But is he the guy you want to give that type of money to? I'm not so sure.
So you believe his statistics are a little bit inflated because he's playing with the best
players
in the world.
You still got to put the puck in the net. You still got to be able to play with great players. He can do that. It's probably in his best interest to stay there, to be honest with you.
All right, Charles, I just got this text from our friend Keith Robinson, the former KSDK producer now with TNT. I think he just retweeted something, but I want you to respond to this. Ryan Fitzpatrick, 2016, 12 touchdowns, 17 picks, $3 million in 2017. Mm. Colin Kaepernick, 2016, 16 TDs, 4 picks, unemployed in 2017. Then the line is, let's stop pretending.
Yes.
Your reaction to that?
Stop pretending what? About, Colin Kaepernick being blackballed.
That his off-field protests have not impacted his inability to get signed. You would have to be foolish to not believe that.
Now, did you hear the Seattle was a team that was kicking the tires a little bit? Which would be good because that offense, I mean, even though Russell's the guy, I think that's an offense that Colin could thrive in.
They're looking at, they're supposedly looking at him and RG3. I think Colin Kaepernick is still a starting quarterback, if necessary.
You think that?
I think that. Remember, he was surrounded.
Does that mean if somebody goes down with an injury, that would mean he's a backup?
I would rather have him as a backup if somebody went down with an injury.
Okay, so he's a backup.
Yeah, he's going to probably have to come in as a backup right now.
Okay.
That's the only way he's going to be able to get into the NFL.
He'd be a good backup.
But if, he'll be a tremendous backup.
And let's face it, there are plenty of examples of guys who take a job as a backup, Kurt Warner being one, and then end up being unbelievable.
And he's not that old.
No, he still has plenty of athleticism left, and I mean, he can still be a good player.
We fail to remember how good he was when Frisco was in their heyday years. They were tremendous.
We had a great team, and he had a coach who believed in him, and
he still
developed
does.
Him. And then, Harbaugh's his greatest backer.
And teams adjusted to the way he plays. You know, I mean, it's hard to do that with your legs as much as he did. He could throw the ball too. And probably doesn't have weapons around him that maybe he had when he went to the Super Bowl.
The only downside is the NFL is so great that when they put you on film and study you, what your tendencies are.
Coaching is so good.
But also, too, when you haven't played at that upper level, sometimes it's hard to get back to that level again. Yeah. But I think he can do that.
But there's no doubt that the protests and, you know, the kneeling during the national anthem, that has impacted his ability, whether you like it or not, to get a job, and that's the risk he took because, let's face it, in the National Football League, when you look at who the owners are who are making these decisions around the NFL, it's not just about – people are going to focus solely on the race, Charlie, but – and remember the big conversation was when he was doing this was, you know, he was saying, well, I'm not disrespecting military people, not disrespecting the country.
He had nothing to do with that.
But that's the way people took it.
And I think
that's why – a lot of these owners probably feel so strongly about it and probably have very little, if no, interest in signing him.
It's just like the protests at Mizzou. That's part of the problem now. Well, in Roma, it came out the other day. They said that.
Almost 40% down from 2 years ago.
Wow.
Freshman
40% down.
Well, good.
So, protests.
Do you have a comment on that?
I do want to say that a lot of that's getting overblown. If you look at the populations of just high school graduating classes, a decline was something that was expected. Not that severe, but I do think that's getting
almost half. I mean, that's a lot.
I do understand.
College enrollments are down, but nothing like 40%.
But on the Colin Kaepernick saga, he was protesting police brutality, not the military, but people took it a step further because he wouldn't stand for the national anthem.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and he also came out wearing a shirt that with Fidel Castro's picture on
correct.
It, who killed more people than anybody. I mean,
well, we got people to support Putin, so what?
Well, I mean, look, if you're going to talk about, like, protecting rights and, you know, caring
I understand why people don't like that.
Castro shirt, okay? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, look, I hope he finds work, and I thought he was a great player at one time.
But have we gone far enough along because the guy wore a T-shirt with Castro? So what?
Well, if you're going to be
Hey,
Charlie, at the end of the day, you can talk about him being a good backer. His skill level is not good enough to overcome
we don't know that,
some
though.
Of those distractions.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You're right. Believe
well,
me.
But you got to give him a chance.
His skill level is Tom Brady, we'd correct. Be overlooking
but we don't,
him.
But you got to give him. You got to give him a chance with the right team. You got to do that.
But
he was with a terrible team last year and still had 16 touchdowns.
But we see teams with a great quarterback win. You take that quarterback out of the equation, like the Oakland Raiders, for example, all of a sudden they look terrible. So a great quarterback can make a terrible team look very, very competitive.
See, I don't go along with that, what you guys just said. If you put him with the team, he hasn't been contacted, really. He hasn't been put with a team. If he's put with the right team, and last year with Frisco, he was a winning organization.
On a miserable team.
He was with a miserable team. He was with one of the worst teams in football last season.
Blank Gabbert.
Don't get me started.
But I will say this. If you are a team and you're looking for a backup quarterback, you probably don't want the distractions.
What is he going to be distracted?
Well,
not to the players.
Distraction. Now he's saying he's not going to be.
Well, he's not going to protest
but
anymore.
But you also alienate you also alienate a percentage of your fan base if and when that signing happens.
Why? Because the fan base is white.
But let me just say this.
That's true.
I don't think what he... here's the question. Is what he did as bad as what Michael Vick did, for example?
Michael Vick didn't do anything his relatives did.
I'm just saying. And so people said, well, they're all going to hate him and whatever. When he got back on the football field and looked like the old Michael Vick, people all of a sudden started to celebrate him and forget some of the, you know, and he paid his debt. He went to jail for a couple of years.
Okay, let me ask you both a question on this.
That's a good point.
Don't you think that Vick, at that stage of the comeback, and then Kaepernick at this stage of at the comeback, don't you think that Vick's talent was viewed as more electrifying and more of an upside than this Kaepernick?
How old's Kaepernick?
Yeah. I mean, because at one time, Michael Vick was freaking God with a small
Michael G. Vick imploded internally. Michael Vick came out and admitted, I didn't work hard. And the coaches kind of knew that when he came. He wasn't the same Michael Vick when he came back.
No, he wasn't. But at the time when he was making his comeback, we didn't know.
We never saw the real Michael Vick.
No, but you know
ever
what?
When he came back, never.
He looked like the old Michael Vick, and he got another $100 million contract.
He looked like the Michael Vick, but he wasn't the Michael Vick. But Michael Vick was given a chance.
32 years old when he came back?
The word we're missing is the chance. Colin hasn't got the chance.
He'll get a chance.
Which he will.
He'll get a chance.
See, that's what I'm... Here's an interesting text. The coach
does not want to answer questions every week about his backup quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who sent that?
A texter just sent that in.
Well, how does he know?
Well, no, that's true.
How does he know?
You want your backup quarterback.
So what? If I'm winning, I don't care. I'll answer the questions about...
Ray Rice...
Winning cures everything.
Ray Rice is a perfect example.
He couldn't play anymore.
After he was seen on video, he never got another job. Why? That's a big part of it because they don't want the controversy.
He couldn't play anymore.
He also wasn't in the prime of his career.
Yeah, he was averaging less than three yards a carry.
Right. Exactly.
If he was averaging 5.2, he would have gotten a shot.
That's the point I'm trying to make.
Adrian Peterson got back on the football field, right?
Well, he never did nothing. Don't get me into that. He did nothing wrong.
I don't even want to go down that way.
I
don't want to go down that way.
Boy, I tell you what, that's a racial thing right there. He did nothing. My arm right now has welts on it from when I got whooped. What are you talking about? That is the worst thing I've ever seen in pro sports.
Was that from last Adrian night? That wasn't from last night. That's the worst thing I've ever seen in pro sports,
Adrian, with the way the National Football League did Adrian Peterson.
Well, almost as bad as what he did to his kid.
That is just.
All right, we will take a short time out. Our 11 o'clock hour is sponsored by Vogel Heating and Cooling. Give them a call, 314-351-2533 to schedule an appointment.